Just greet all of you this morning in the precious name of Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glad to be with you all this morning. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Again in verse 27. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom and understanding. Open your words to us, Father. Again, we just want to thank you for them. Thank you for your voice that's speaking to all the earth. Lord, help us hear that voice. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We read here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. We talk a lot about hearing the Lord, and we believe that a Christian is someone who actually hears his voice and puts into practice. That's what believing is. It's not just believing some facts. It's not just believing the Bible. It's not just believing that Jesus died for us. But it is actually believing when he speaks to us. When he says something, we actually believe it. And it's easy to say that we believe our dogma, or we believe our doctrines, or we have this sound group of teachings, and it's easy to say that we believe that. I mean, most people who are fundamental, trying to follow what the Bible teaches, have this thought that, well, I believe that we should love our enemies. And everyone would acknowledge that that's what we should do. But is that truly believing it? And I think what Jesus was trying to teach us is, it's he that hears these words and does them, not someone that just accepts the proper doctrine. And I want to read this morning with a thought and a heart seeking to find the voice of the Lord, to actually hear what he's saying. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Just look at those. I say to you who hear, love your enemies. There's a lot of people say that they love their enemies. And I'm not talking just about an emotion or a feeling or something that just pops up within us and that's this gushy feeling of love that I have for enemies. Because in reality, most of the time, that's not what we feel. And whenever we talk about hearing the Lord and obeying Him, it's not how we feel about things, but it's about the choices we make when we have an opportunity to put into practice what He's really teaching. It's not the first thing that pops into our head. It's not the first thing that pops into our mouth. But it's what it really comes down to when it comes right down to it. Do we hear His voice or not? Whenever I was working at the tire shop a few years ago, and I was just learning these teachings about non-resistance and not resisting evil and practicing what's right. The men there, they did a lot of wrestling and fighting around, and I tried to avoid most of it. But one time, one of the guys came up and he grabbed me, just grabbed me from behind. And my first reaction was, I don't remember, was to punch him in the belly with my elbow or to grab his hand. Anyway, he said, "Ow!" Whatever the reaction was, he backed up, "Ow!" And I told him, I said, "Listen, I practice non-resistance. But sometimes my gut reaction doesn't quite know that. It doesn't always, when that first reaction I have doesn't necessarily reveal the choice that I will make in the end. And that's what he's talking about. Sometimes when our enemies do something, the first reaction is, what? But what God is looking for is the choices that we make. That's why we teach about making choices. What, when it really comes down to it, what am I going to do? Love your enemies. And I say to you here, love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Look for opportunities. Or I think sometimes we think setting a bag of cookies on somebody's doorstep that hates us is what love is. Love is treating your neighbor like you would want to be treated. And it's just that simple. It's not necessarily surprising them or doing something really nice for them, but it's loving them the way that you would want to be treated. That's what love is. That's what Jesus said love is. To love your neighbor as yourself. Not just some nice little thing, but just love your neighbor as you'd be wanted to be treated. To do good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. A lot of times in our discussions, we have people that are doing us wrong and are saying things and causing all... In our discussion, sometimes we say, boy, you know, trying to figure out everything, where everything is at. And we can only accept, we can only make our judgments and our own conversation, our talk on what we know, what we hear. And so we make decisions about that. That's not cursing someone. To curse someone is to look for an opportunity to that wrong or bad would befall them. To think in our heart and to pursue that boy, I just wish they would get what was theirs. I wish they would just get what's coming to them. In a few years back in a church, there were some things that were going on and it just looked like the people were just going to get away with it. And one of the men in the church said, that's all right, God will give them theirs. That is the attitude of cursing your enemies. Just waiting. Well, we'll let them win now, but God's going to really pour it on them and give it to them. That's the attitude of cursing your enemies. That's what... We don't want that. That's not what we're seeking. I say to you, love your enemies and do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. You know, we all say that we practice non-resistance. There's a lot of people say they practice that. But when it comes right down to it, when someone just takes something from us, doesn't our idea of justice just rise up and say, well, it's just wrong and they need to pay for that. They need to take care of this. They need to fix this. Where are we at? What is non-resistance whenever someone really does you wrong? That there's no question about it. They're at fault. What do? That's when we make choices. Do I pursue them? Do I make sure I get my justice? Do I make sure that they pay? Or do I turn the other cheek? That's whenever it's hard. That's when it's real. Whenever there's something there that our sense of righteousness and our sense of judgment, of right and wrong, says that they've done me wrong. They have done me wrong and they need to fix this thing. They need to take care of what they've done wrong. And I'm just going to make them do it. Well, if we can put pressure on someone, maybe threatening even, what's the difference in taking them to law? If we're going to, the Bible teaches that that in Romans, Paul said, isn't it better that we take the wrong? What's going on here? Brother taking brother to law and taking to court and fixing things? That's not turning the other cheek. And if sometimes things escalate, that's what Jesus was talking about. Go seek that whenever you've done someone wrong, seek it, lest they take you to law. Well, if I'm putting pressure on someone, trying to shame someone into something, I'm just one step under calling a lawyer. I'm just one step of saying, I'm going to go get a lawyer. That's the next step whenever what I'm doing isn't working. And so, what's the difference? Forgive. Take the wrong. Turn the other cheek. If they take something away, give them something else. That's the way we're supposed to react to things. That's the heart of it. Yeah, we might, our sense of righteousness and judgments might say, they owe it. They owe it. That might be our first gut reaction. But then we think, what would Jesus do? How would He do this? How would He take care of this? Would He just try to get it fixed? Whatever ways, just so I don't hire a lawyer and do it. Just so I don't call the sheriff to take care of it. I'll do everything I can up to that point. Well, we're pursuing that with the same spirit of vengeance. We just won't take that step towards it. We need to guard ourselves that we truly believe these things. That we truly put these things into practice. Give, verse 32, everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Boy, I worked hard to buy that thing. I worked hard to get that. And then someone comes and borrows it, and they don't bring it back. They borrow it, and then they tear it up. They borrow it, and it breaks. Boy, don't I have a right to say, listen, you borrowed it, go fix it. Don't bring it back to me that way. Don't we have a right? Well, we're not talking about our rights. If you want our rights, join politics. Become a lawyer. You can get your rights if that's what you want. But when we're talking about following Jesus, our rights go out the window. Our rights don't matter anymore. It's about me overcoming good with evil, not getting satisfaction, not getting justice. And if you're borrowing something, how do you like it when you borrow something and somebody doesn't bring it back? Love your neighbor. Give it back to them. If it breaks while you're using it, fix it and make it better than what you borrowed it. Is that so hard? Is that so evil? No. That's just the way it should be. We're talking about the kingdom of God. How are things going to be in the kingdom of God? Am I going to be in the kingdom of God making sure I get all my rights? Making sure everybody treats me just right? We might not. We might react that way at first. It might swell up in us. But what's the choices we make with what we're doing? Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. See, the message of Jesus is not some lofty, great thing. It's not something that, oh, it's just unobtainable. We try to make it that way sometimes. But that's not. The heart of the gospel is to treat others the way you would want them to treat you. Do you like whenever someone does you wrong? No. Well, don't do them wrong. Is that real hard? Is that real big? Is that way up there? Or is it just a matter of doing it? It's pretty simple. Think of others instead of yourself. Unless you think, well, how would I want this done? And then go do it. Treat others the same way you would want them to treat you. Do you want others to be critical and sharp and hard on you? Do you want others to make snap decisions about you? Treat others the way you would want to be treated. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You want people to demand their rights on you? Do you want people to demand every little thing you do just perfect satisfaction? We don't like that. We don't like someone standing over us just demanding every little thing. It's not what we want. Why do we try to do that with someone else? If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. You can go down to the local bar, and all the guys hanging out in there, they take care of each other. They stand by each other. They're friends with each other. And if one of them has a need, the other one will be right there for them. You can go right into the military, and the guys that are fighting together, they're not going to leave one of their own behind. They're not going to, oh, he got shot, we're going to cut him off. They're not going to do that. They're going to stand right together because they're together. That's one of the mottos of the military. No man left behind. It's a shame that if you come out alive, but you left your buddy out there to get captured. Or he's out there wounded and you leave him behind. That's a shameful thing in the military. Because they take care of their own. How much more should the church of the Lord not just take care of their own? That's what he's talking about here. Not just taking care of your own. The military does that. The people in the bar do that. The people in the Masons do that. They stand together with their own. They're together with their own. It's not just being faithful to that, but it's going out beyond and doing the same thing for those who aren't your own. Doing the same thing for those who do you wrong. And just going right on. For if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? How valuable is that? Just to do good to people who are nice. I'm going to be nice to you because you're nice to me. How good is that? For even sinners do the same. And we can just go through example after example after example where people do good to those who do good to them. If you lend to those to whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. That's just standard banking procedure. All over the world that we expect to receive what I loan you. That's why people sign papers. That's why they have contracts. That's why they have lawyers. So that I can get back what I loaned you. It's common practice. And we think we're doing something noble whenever we don't exact a little more. We think we're doing something noble when we just want back what we loaned you. That's all I want back. We think we're really doing something righteous because we can do that in the church. The local bank does the same thing. The local loan shark just about does the same thing. He wants a little more, but he expects back what he loans you. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. When you loan somebody something, have you ever just had the thought that I don't even expect this back? I'm not going to even expect it back. Wow. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Look how God is. He lends, He gives, and He doesn't expect anything. He's not got a list of all the things He's given to us, just waiting for us to pay Him back. And that's what He's calling us to do, to have the same heart and the same attitude as Him. A hope. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things, bears all things. Being like Jesus, we have opportunities sometimes when people have done us wrong. You know, the church, the kingdom of God, how is it when someone does us wrong, how are we supposed to receive them or react whenever they show a little sign of maybe repairing what was going wrong? Someone leaves or someone does something, and how do we treat them? You know what? The first thing whenever someone wants to fix something, or someone just wants to return, someone wants to restore fellowship, the first thing that pops into our heart is hope. That's what ought to pop into our hearts, is hope. But do you know what pops in a lot of times? That list of all the things that they've done wrong to us. That list of, you said this, you said that, you wrote this, you told this. That's what pops into our heart. They did us wrong. You know, Jesus talked about forgiveness to Peter. Peter said, Lord, how often should we forgive? And He said, 7 times 7. If a brother comes, 7 times 7, 490 times in a day, and he tries to fix things, how are we to treat it? There's 489 things here that you failed me. in a day. One more, and I don't have to forgive you anymore. Because I'm counting every one of them. And I've got them written down. I've been to churches before that the bishop had a notebook in his pocket. And every time you did something, he would write it down. Put it in his pocket. Put it in his pocket. And then maybe a few years later, you get called on the carpet about something. Let's just see your history here. And he's got all those little things written down. You said this. You said that. Remember whenever you said this? You said that. What has that to do with forgiveness? What is forgiveness? Whenever the man went out and he forgave the debt of the man. What did that mean? What did that mean? What does it mean to forgive? Whenever a debt is forgiven, it means it's forgiven. Whenever you forgive somebody, doesn't mean that you don't have to make a choice whether you're going to forgive them again. But forgiveness is not, well, let's see, let's go down the list of things. You know, there's some people that if you try to have fellowship or you try to restore fellowship, the first thing they're going to do is bring out the list and let's say, well, let's see if you really want to have fellowship. Let's see if you really want to, if you've really repented. And they go down the list and make you jump through the hoop to see if you're really, really, really serious this time. Is that what Jesus meant when He said, forgive, have mercy, treat others the way you would want them to be treated? No. If someone wants to return to the kingdom of God, there's not a questionnaire they have to fill out before they can be returned. To forgive 7 times 7 is to be merciful like your Father in heaven. Not say, well, I'll forgive you if you'll fix this. I'll forgive you if you will fix this. One time, there's a saying, burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. Somebody told me that once. Didn't take long for me to mess that up. And I messed up my second chance. And there was no restoring anything. Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. A lot of us have that kind of an attitude. Well, I'll forgive you once. Don't you ever let it happen again. Because I won't forgive you the second time. Burn me once. Shame on you. Burn me twice. Shame on you. Burn me 300 times. Shame on you. There is no shame in forgiving. There is no shame in having hope in people, trusting people over and over and over again. Treat others how you would want to be treated. Someone comes in and they lie to us, they deceive us, they trick us. We could say, well, wait a minute, I don't trust you. Let's prove that you're going to be faithful and true this time. If they come and say, forgive me. If they come and say, I repent, forgive me. Make sure you write it down Make sure you record it. Make sure everybody knows. Make sure you bring out your list. No. Have hope in people that they're trying to do what's right. Communication is so hard. I mean, it's so easy to think that we know what people really, their real intentions and their real motives are. It's so easy for us to figure that all out. People are confused. Sometimes they fail because they think they know. Sometimes they fail for a lot of different reasons. But sometimes we do the same thing. We see through a cloud darkly. We don't understand everything. And it behooves us to have the same patience and the same mercy and the same forgiveness that we want for ourselves. To have a hope when someone shows the slightest glimmer of wanting to fix something, wanting to have fellowship, to return. That's a glorious thing. Our justice, our righteousness wants to say, well, wait a minute, they burnt us once. Burn us once, shame on you. Burn us twice, shame on us. Well, Jesus gets burned and burned and burned and burned and burned. And when we return, what does He do for us? He lets us have another opportunity to do it again if we want to. He'll work it out on the judgment day. Nothing will just be overlooked. We're not going to trick Him. We're not going to deceive Him. If we stumble and we get right back up and He forgives us. But if we're deceitful and we're just trying to pull something over on Him, or we're trying to, that'll all come out. And He'll take care of that. That's up to Him to decide. We're to be harmless as doves and wise as serpents. Does that mean we're not going to trust anybody? Does that mean we're not going to trust anybody? Is that what wise as serpents mean? No, wise as serpents means He'll take care of it. We can trust Him. If we can maintain what He wants from us, if we can maintain being like Him, if we can maintain treating others the way we want them to treat us, instead of wise as serpents is not getting my justice. Wise as serpents is not getting everything that's due me. Wise as serpents is trusting the Lord. Harmless as doves. Well, may the Lord help us to truly hear His words. Just to truly hear them. We try to add things or take away from, and it's really just pretty simple. Really just pretty simple. Treat others the way you would want them to treat you. And if you owe somebody and you can't pay them, how do you want someone to treat you? You want them to haul them off, throw you in jail, till you pay? Is that what you want? It's hard sometimes. It's a struggle just trying to, we find ourselves in debt or find ourselves owing someone. How you put yourself on the other end of that. Well, they may never pay you. Just go forgive them. Let them take that burden off of them. Take that burden off of them. There's plenty more to fill its place for them. Lighten someone else's load. Anyway. Praise the Lord. Anyone have anything you want to share? To maintain the church is to put it into practice. You're not going to safeguard it building walls. You're not going to safeguard it trying to make sure your doctrines are all right. The only way to keep the church pure is for you just to do it. That's all. That will abide forever. That's the only thing that will abide forever. Trying to protect it, you've messed it. You've lost it. You've missed it. The only thing that will abide is you hearing the Word of God and doing it. That preserves. That will last. Nothing else will, no matter how solid you think you have it, no matter how solid you think you can get it, no matter how pure you can force everybody else to do it, it's you putting into practice, hearing the teachings of Jesus and doing them that will preserve it. And that's all.
I was reading about Winston Churchill and how he had a long political and military history dating all the way back to the early 1900s. So the British people knew well about Winston Churchill, and he made some pretty bad mistakes in his career, even causing the deaths of a lot of soldiers. Even like leading up to the very last year before he was elected prime minister, right before the Second World War, during the Second World War. But the British people elected him prime minister after having seen all that, and right after having made some really bad blunders, they elected him prime minister because they saw that it wasn't just about doing everything right or not making a mistake, but they could see where he was going, and that's what they wanted. So I just thought that was pretty neat, how that should be in the church with each other. And our leader just to be able to see past this a mistake that we might make.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
I was thinking, it dawned on me as you're speaking, brother, how that you know how it is when someone talks to you, that rubs wrong you, whether it's an email or whatever it is. You know, you think that they're actually making some steps, turning around. It looks like they are. And you kind of respond to them with that in mind. Hey, thank you for that. Welcome and forgive you or whatever. And they're like, no, I wasn't, I wasn't saying I was sorry or anything. Things continue the way they are. And, that just makes you look so dumb. You know, if you're jump to conclusions that they might be turning around and asking for forgiveness. But, and then Brother Daniel from Mexico, he always makes me laugh when we hear a little host of somebody else, and he says, creo que ya casi son nuestros. He says, I think they're almost ours. it's funny, but that's Jesus, like you said, just his life is about being burned.
Mm-hmm.
And just being burned again and burned again and look silly and undiscerning, and that because you're looking for a breakthrough, looking for hope, that's his challenge.
Praise the Lord.
When Jesus said children of this world are wiser than children of life, children of this world secure their future with whatever. They're trying to bring security to their lives. But he's saying, I send you out as sheep among wolves. Not a better wolf than those wolves.
Mm-hmm.
To protect yourself.
Right.
And it's about wisdom. It's about looking ahead and making sure that nothing befalls us that puts them where. Then we're all about safeguards and ensuring ourselves against any dangers, whatever. But if we're really about letting God take care of all those things, committing ourselves under a faithful Creator, then I send you out as sheep among wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way He sent us out. And so that's the way we ought to be about the Church of Mexico. That's the way we ought to be about each other. We ought to be the same way. We don't all of a sudden become this institute to protect everybody that we send out. If we're going to be like Jesus, we're also going to treat our brothers.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you.
Right.